In the first reading today, St. Paul tells us that we must have the same mind as Christ, meaning the same disposition. And when we look at that disposition of our Lord, it is one of pure charity, also the humility that leads to obedience, that he was obedient, St. Paul said, even to death, death on a cross. That point cannot be overstated because of the importance even of what we hear in the gospel today. We hear these people as they come to Jesus and they are giving him grief. If he's the Son of God, let him come down from the cross. If he's the Messiah, let him come down from the cross. Then we will believe in him. We have to be able to look at it and recognize exactly what he had told the high priest. The high priest asked him under oath. So Jesus had spoken nothing of all of the things, and the high priest asked him under oath, "Are you the Christ, the Son of God?" And he acknowledged who he was. He spoke the truth, but the high priest instead tore his garments and screamed blasphemy because he said that he was God, and therefore he was to be put to death. Now the high priests are right there as Jesus is on the cross saying, let him come down from that cross and then we will believe in him. What you see is that they have it all backwards. They are looking at things merely from a natural level rather than a spiritual perspective. We have to understand from a spiritual perspective because it's the only way that it makes any sense. And you begin to see that the high priest got it all wrong. We believe because Jesus didn't come down from the cross. If he would have come down from the cross, we could all say, wow, that was a cool miracle. And guess what? We would not say that he is the Son of God, and we would not say that he is the Messiah. He saved himself. He didn't save anybody else. That's not why he came. He came here to save us, not to save himself. But that's again where you see that they got it backwards. Even to the point of saying he saved others, but he cannot save himself. It's precisely by not saving himself that he saved everyone else. And we have to remember that even as he told the high priest who he was, his work as the Christ took place on the cross. We recognize, of course, 2,000 years later, of course he was the Christ. It's the reason he came into the world. He's the Messiah, he's the anointed one of God. But he didn't actually do what the Christ needed to do until his passion, his death, and his resurrection. That is what demonstrates him to be the Christ. If he had not done those things, we wouldn't say he's the Christ. We could say he is a prophet like some of the other prophets. But because of what he did, we recognize him to be the Christ. So once again, you see that it's exactly backwards or opposite of how the high priests were looking at things. He couldn't be the Christ unless he stayed on that cross. So now we have to look a little more deeply at what this means, because we heard about what occurred when Pilate wanted to release Jesus. And that there were two people that were in prison. It was our blessed Lord and a man named Barabbas, a notorious prisoner, we are told. And they asked the crowds, who do you want me to release for you? They cried out, Barabbas. And they cried for Jesus to be crucified. Now, obviously, in its immediate context, this man who's a notorious prisoner was released and Jesus was put to death. But nothing happens by chance with God. So as I've told you before, you may remember, what does the name Barabbas mean? The Son of the Father. The Son of the Father. They asked that the Son of the Father would be released, and they asked that the Son of the Father would be crucified. But we have to see it now from the larger perspective, from God's perspective. Because what are the results or the consequences of our Lord going to the cross? He saved us. He set us free. He became the covenant into which we are baptized. And in being baptized, you and I have become sons and daughters of God the Father. So who's the notorious prisoner? Right here. Not that unfortunate soul who was stuck in Pilate's prison. You and me, who were stuck in Satan's prison. You and I, who are the notorious sinners who have violated God in how many ways? We were stuck in our sins. We were enslaved in our sins. We were imprisoned to Satan himself. And it is because Jesus did not come down from that cross. It is because they asked that the Son of the Father would be released. That is, you or me. Because the Son of the Father was crucified so that we could become children of the Father, so that we could have the freedom of the children of God, so that we could be set free from our bondage to sin, to death. That's what Jesus did for us. We have to be able to see that. We have to see how God reacts to what happened. We are told that when the high priest heard our Lord's response, he tore his garments and he screamed out blasphemy. Unlike what you will see on all of the movies and the TV shows, the way that the high priest would tear his garments is he would bend down and take the garments at the bottom, and he would tear from the bottom to the top. It's a symbolic way of saying that someone on earth has blasphemed against heaven. So this little point that is made in the gospel, that the curtain in the temple was torn from top to bottom, is of critical importance. And any Jewish person would have picked up on this immediately, because they knew if the high priest tore his garments, it was from bottom to top. So when the curtain was torn from top to bottom, it is God saying blasphemy. Humanity passed judgment on God. Humanity decided that God should be put to death. That is the blasphemy. And yet, from the greatest injustice that has ever been accomplished in human history, God brings about the greatest good. Once again, if we look at it merely on the natural level, we will have to say, this was unjust, this was horrible, this was rotten, and it is. But we have to see it from God's perspective. Jesus tells us this is the reason that he came into this world. He said, all these things have to happen so that Scripture can be fulfilled. He could have called down 12 legions of angels, but he didn't, because the Scriptures needed to be fulfilled. He was doing God's will. And so therefore, we have to be able to see this from his perspective. This is the greatest work of charity that humanity has ever known. Yes, indeed, it is the greatest injustice that humanity has ever inflicted on anyone. But from God's perspective, this is the greatest act of love that humanity has ever known. And the effect of it is that we are set free. That's the part we must understand. So as we go through this week now, as I keep telling you, you can't just be a bystander. You can't keep this at an arm's distance. Now you see why. Because you are in the story. Your name is Barabbas. You are a son or a daughter of God the Father. You're not somebody separate from this, watching from the outside. The freedom that you have as a child of God comes from the fact of what Jesus did on the cross. You can be called a Christian because he is the Christ. And he is the Christ only because of his passion, death, and resurrection. That's what we're baptized into the person of Jesus, into everything that he did for us. So that's what we have to be focused on. As we go through this week, put yourself right into that. Recognize what he has done. Yes, we deserve to be in prison. We deserve to be considered the notorious prisoner because of our sins. But God, in his mercy and his love, he freed us from that. And he freed us from it at the price of the blood of his own son. So when the people said, his blood be on us and on our children, that's exactly what was necessary. Again, on the natural level, they're saying, well, you know, we'll be responsible for it. But on the spiritual level, that's what sets us free. Once again, if he didn't do that, if his blood wasn't upon us, we would still be imprisoned to Satan. So learn to see these things from the spiritual perspective. But look at what God has done for you. Put yourself into that position. Here's this, depending on which gospel you read, this insurrectionist, this murderer, this notorious prisoner. You have to look at that and say, that's me that's being talked about. I'm the one who was bound and in prison. And because of what Jesus did, I have become a son or a daughter of God the Father. I have been set free. That's what the mystery that we're going to be celebrating in this coming week is all about. Yes, the glory of the love of God, but far more for us to receive that love and the effect of that love, which is to be set free, to become and to have the freedom of the children of God.